אתם עם SBS בעברית.
אלנה קושניה is an art lawyer, advisor and curator. She's the founder and director of the Guestwork Agency, the first dedicated art law advisory firm in Australia. Alana has also held the position of the principal investigator at the legal lab for the world-renowned Serpentine Galleries. In addition to her work, Alana is a board director to a handful of art-associated museums and foundations. Despite the recognition that Alana has garnered throughout her career, since the attacks on October 7 last year, Alana has had her own battles closer to home, defending Israel's actions in the politically divided Australian art landscape, which resulted in her resignation from the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art. Since then, she has maintained her role as a community advocate and has recently joined the board of the Jewish Museum of Australia. And we have her today with us now. After October 7, a lot of Jewish benefactors had to pull funding from various foundations and initiatives. Can you please tell us from your own perspective what you experienced in the art industry after October 7 last year?
For me, October 7 really wasn't the turning point. The turning point had come much earlier. When I was living in London, one of the exhibitions that I had the opportunity to work on was held at a private art foundation museum that was open to the public, not too dissimilar from the Tarawarra Museum of Art model here, which was founded by Mark and Eva Beeson. When we were working on this exhibition, there started to be growing concern both from co-curators and participating artists in the exhibition about the founders of this institution and their associations with Israel. That was really an important awakening point, a point at which I had to have a voice and I had to challenge people that I had otherwise gotten along with perfectly on certain statements they were making or assumptions they were making. So that was an important turning point for me personally. The other important turning point for me closer to home was in relation to the Sydney Festival boycott, which occurred at the end of 2021, or the attempted boycott. This attempted boycott was in relation to a small amount of funding that the Israeli embassy had put forward to support a contemporary Israeli dance company, the Bat Sheva Dance Company, coming out to Australia to perform a work as part of the festival. What I noticed occurring at the time was this quite intense push or encouragement of participating artists to pull out of participating in the festival and to make statements online on their social media about them pulling out and why they were pulling out. Some of these artists I knew personally, others I knew, you know, professionally, but I'd never heard them speak about Israel on issues in the Middle East or anything of the like. And they had no background or, you know, educational knowledge, I would say, about Israel and the history of Israel, or also more specifically about the Bat Sheva Dance Company and the views of the Bat Sheva Dance Company and the founders of Bat Sheva Dance Company, which were certainly not black and white as what would have easily fit into their narrative, I guess. That's really also when I started to speak up on social media in response to these posts where artists were withdrawing or announcing their withdrawal from the festival. It attracted the ire of certain trolls, you could call them, who have since come back in a very prominent way on social media post-October 7. Some of their names are quite well known now because of mentions of them in the press, so I won't go into who they are, but it happened to be the same types of people that are now, you see, being very vocal on social media. And these days, same really overt anti-Semitic things and posting quite overt anti-Semitic content.
Do you think that they know that they're being anti-Semitic, or do you think that sticking up for the underdog and berating Israel is their idea of flying the flag of justice, and that's what they know to be true?
I don't think they understand how they are being anti-Semitic. Often I hear the response, oh, I'm just anti-Zionist. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm just an anti-Zionist.
Do you think that's a better answer to not know that they're being anti-Semitic rather than knowing full well that they are being anti-Semitic.
No, it's an excuse for being a racist. And I don't know any other minority or cultural group that has to continually fight haters in who are so convinced that they know more about Judaism and they know more about Zionism and the history of Israel than Jews themselves.
Do you think that the person that's being accusatory has to be Jewish in order to understand what's going on?
I genuinely do not think they think they're doing anything wrong, which is part of the problem, actually. And I think we see now day in, day out. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. I mean, another thing I often hear people say is, oh, well, I have lots of friends who are Jewish. And I often think, well, so what? Like, what does that mean? You were allowed to spread Hamas propaganda. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me, that kind of an argument, or how you can fall back on knowing Jewish people as some sort of an excuse for promoting disinformation. Something that also happened that was quite shocking to me at the time that I was starting to speak up around the City Festival is these trolls started to not just troll myself, but they looked into the organisations I was associated with. I'd recently joined the board of the Australian Centre for Contemporary Art. So there were trolls who actually set up fake accounts and started trolling ACCA social media. They started putting out posts, tagging ACCA and tagging myself. So it's almost, it's doxing, but it's also like quite like trying to publicly shame the institution for having an association with an evil, you know, in quotation marks, an evil Zionist spreading, you know, parroting Hamas propaganda. Those are the kinds of commentary I was seeing about myself online at the time. It did eventually die off. They went and fed off others that they tried to latch onto. But then when October 7 happened, again, I started to see pretty much almost straight away online lots of accounts from people I knew, especially within the arts community, sharing video and other content celebrating the invasion by Hamas on the kibbutzes of and the music festival in southern.
I mean, that must have been so alienating for you. In the arts world, I think you wouldn't be the most popular kid in the room.
Very quickly, I started to see that play out in my work environments. Still being on the board of ACCA at the time, it was almost like, and I think that many creatives, many people working in the arts community who are Jewish in Australia felt this at the time as well, where we almost felt like we had a disembodied experience from everybody else at the time, where we had gone through something so traumatic, so shocking that we still weren't really processing it. And at the same time, there was this silence around us. So it was not spoken about or mentioned in our work environments. For them, it was very difficult for them to understand just how traumatic it was for somebody on the other side of the world.
Did you seize the opportunity to try and talk it out with anyone, or did you just surrender? Was it just a way of extricating yourself from a really uncomfortable situation, or did you manage to seize the opportunity and try talk it out with people and explain your perspective a little bit more?
I didn't feel comfortable raising anything about what I was going through with anyone there unless it was specifically raised from me. I mean, the nice thing that I remember was that there were a few staff that did reach out to me, but as far as board level goes and senior management, it really made me feel like my Jewishness was not relevant at that point in time. And I say that in the context of being at the time and for a very long time after many years, the only Jewish person on the board, and dare I say, the only Jewish person and out and proud Jewish person within the organisation across staff. And that was not something that was lost on me when I joined the board and, you know, as is the expectation on all board directors and nonprofits. There is a fundraising expectation. There is an expectation that you tap into your professional networks, your personal communities. And so I really felt like up to that point, my Jewishness had been valued and appreciated and relied on, but something changed after that. And all of a sudden I wasn't Jewish anymore. So I found that deeply upsetting. and deeply concerning. But in terms of how it then led to the resignation as well, look, I spoke up on social media, but in a very specific way. I wanted to speak to people or to raise with them my concern when they were specifically promoting Hamas propaganda. So if somebody said something around Palestine in general or Israel in general, what was happening there, I have no issue with that. I've never had an issue with anyone talking about. If anything, I think there should be more discussions and deeper discussions on the topic, which isn't really happening. And two-sided discussions as well, not one-sided discussions. So anybody who was advocating for Hamas or saying that October 7 was justified, that it was a resistance, that for me crossed the line into anti-Semitism. There was a deep-seated hatred there that they were feeding off. The other type of rhetoric that I really saw coming out very early on after October 7 online was the Holocaust inversion. So people alleging that what was happening in Gaza, even, you know, a week after October 7 when Israel, the IDF, hadn't even entered Gaza by land yet, calling what was happening in Gaza a Holocaust, okay? So for someone like me, who is the grandchild of Holocaust survivors, that is not just triggering, but it is quite literal Holocaust inversion. And so raising issues with that, that did not sit comfortably with the board. And so we had some difficult discussions. We really tried to work through it. I think everyone tried to work through it. But at the end of the day, I didn't feel that I had any role to play in an organization that only wanted to support me as a Jewish person in good times when they weren't receiving any flack for having a Jewish person on their board.
But then your new board position has since come up. Do you want to tell us about it?
About 6 months ago, I was approached by the Jewish Museum of Australia, which is based here in Melbourne, to join their board. It wasn't an easy decision for me to make because of what I'd been through. It was almost like if you had a really bad breakup with somebody, you need some time before you go out and start dating again, right? So I had all this trauma and baggage from what I'd personally been through. I just wasn't sure if I was up to doing it. And the thing is, when I am on a board of an arts organization, I really give my all. I want to give my all because it's something that I'm really passionate about. So I really wanted to make sure that I could give 100% to the Jewish Museum before I joined. But I did bite the bullet and I did do it. And I'm so honored and privileged to be on that board and to see what we're doing there is not just exciting, but nourishing in a way, very therapeutic. I've spent 20 years building my career, working in the arts industry and the law industry, but not with specifically in a Jewish organization.
Does it have a different bend to it?
I can just be myself. You know, anyone in the arts, if you're, and this goes also for artists, I think if you're a Jewish artist, more often than not, as a Jewish artist in Australia, you are faced with having to kind of live two parallel lives, your kind of artist self, and then only disclosing your Jewish side if and when necessary. So your Jewish side is like the private side, the family side, the personal side. So you have these two halves, and that's very much how I operated up until October 7, I would say. But here at the Jewish Museum, I can just completely be myself, and I think that means that I can do a much better job in advocating for the museum as well. So they welcome me with open arms.
And you've got an exhibition coming up next year as well that you're curating.
It is actually very much focused on this question of what it means to be both artist and Jew today. We have an amazing selection of artists, international artists and Australian artists that we're putting together who are looking at their Jewishness or their relationship to Judaism through their art. So I'm hoping that for our audiences it will be an inspiring, uplifting and empowering exhibition.
Oh, we look forward to coming and seeing that, definitely. What do you think it is, just more philosophically, about Jewish people and the humanities subjects like arts and music? Why do you think it penetrates so much in our culture?
I know for myself, it definitely comes from my parents and my family. My mum, she was a pianist and she studied the Melbourne Conservatorium of Music. Before she had me, and then she joined my dad in the family business. My dad is a jeweler and he's always been exceptionally creative. So for me, having a creative bent to what you do as part of your profession, I can't imagine not having that and doing that. So I can't say if that's the same for other Jews, but for myself personally and my upbringing, music, art, culture was a really core part of that.
Do you do any art yourself?
I used to, not so much anymore, but I did as a child. Painting, drawing, making art was my everything. I was a very shy, very, very quiet child. I really struggled to express myself using words. So art for me was my outlet. So I think that's why I've ended up working in the arts in some way, shape or form, whatever that is, you know, whether it's as a curator or as an art lawyer or, you know, just as a general advisor behind the scenes. But I think growing up and having that yearning or that passion for art as a child has stayed with me.
Do you think that was always a calling for you to be involved in art in some capacity or another, even if it meant marrying that with law?
I think so. I mean, the way I rationalize the law side is when it came to choosing what I was going to do at university, I did seriously consider doing a fine art degree. But even though I'm quite creative, there's another side of my brain that is very logical, rational, structured. I like control. I don't like surprises. Being a lawyer is much more suited to that side of my brain. So I actually just didn't have the courage to, you know, being when you're 17, 18, choosing what you want to do at university, I just didn't have the courage to say, yes, I want to be an artist as part of my profession. And I'm quite happy with that because I wouldn't want to have to rely on that for my profession. I do like that for me, making art is still very much a passion project. But that's why I've tried to work with art in all sorts of ways outside of actually being a practicing artist today.
What's your hope for the future? What are you looking at?
The last year and a bit has been transformative in many ways for me. Yes, it has been difficult personally and professionally, but at the same time, there has been some beautiful silver linings as well. I've connected with many more Jewish artists than I ever knew existed in Australia, which is amazing. And the friendships that I've formed over this time are second to none. It's really about the quality of relationships I have now rather than the quantity of them. And I hope everyone can take from my experience as well and know that there is always some good that can be found in every evil. You know, as Jews, it's in our blood. We're resilient. We keep going. We keep pursuing. We keep advancing. We need to keep on going. We don't have a choice.
Alana, thank you so much for coming on SBS.
Thank you, Marielle. Thanks for having me.
SBS Hebrew reached out to ACCA about the claims. ACCA did not provide comments at the time of publication.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.